Amen. Amen. All right, we're going to turn to Romans chapter 5, verse 7. So we're going to go through a lot of scriptures in the beginning, just kind of set the foundation for what we're going to talk about. Now, our series subject is, for Wednesday night, for the next 10 or 12 weeks or so, is going to be on the triumphant church. So between myself and Pastor Cynthia, we're going to convey, as the Lord directs us, something we trust the Lord will enable us and empower us to get our fire back, to get our focus back, to get our faith back, and to get our fight back. Amen. Concerning reinforcing the victory of Jesus in our everyday lives and in our realms and spheres of influence. Exercising our God-given, grace-given right to command of power and authority from heaven above. Amen. And not allowing and perpetuating the problematic pain that the devil brings into our life experience. And, but we put our foot down, so to speak, and basically terminate his assignments and his incursions in our lives. Praise the Lord. Isn't that good? And so look at somebody next to you and say, get your fight back. Look at somebody else and say, get your faith back. Look at one more person and say, get your fire back. All right, get your fire back. Amen. So Romans 5:17, for if by one man's, I'll just read off screen. 17. Romans 5:17. For if by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, what? Through Jesus Christ. So we're supposed to reign in life. Now, you don't reign in the afterlife or, you know, when you get to heaven. You reign in this life because you are been made unto God kings and priests. A king rules, kings reign. Amen. Everybody say, I'm a king. You can preface it gender and say, I'm a queen, but you're a person of authority. Now, Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 says, and when he had called the 12 disciples to him, he gave them power. Everybody say power. Power over unclean spirits. Now, the word, Greek word there, power, is a word, exousia, which means authority. Authority, right, and privilege. So authority is the word we use for authority. He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out, to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of diseases. Amen. Luke chapter 9, verse 1, it says, he called his 12 disciples together and gave them what?
Power.
And authority over all what?
Demons.
To cure diseases. So that power is over these areas, what we say, sin, sickness, Satan, sorrow. You have power and authority. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? And he sent them to preach. So, and to heal the sick. And so God gave us that authority to do that and that privilege to do that. Now let's go to Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give unto you what? Authority. Same Greek word again, exousia, to trample on what? Now notice Jesus is talking metaphorically. Serpents and scorpion represents demons, devils, evil spirits, things that are bad. Trample on, that means they're under your feet. You stomp on them. He said, I give you the authority, right, and privilege, or you can say permission. To trample on what? The demons, the devils, the evil spirits, and over all the power, that word power is their ability of the enemy. See, anything that the devil, the demon, the evil spirits, rises up with their demonic power or ability, you have authority over that. So you have authority over his ability. His ability to mess up your marriage, his ability to mess up your finances, his ability to mess up your family, is ability that he tries to bring to mess up your body, your mind, your emotions, and bring depression and oppress your thought life. Amen. And what? Nothing by any means shall hurt you or harm you, says another translation. Isn't that good? Let's go to Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Now, you know, it's important that we meditate and remind ourselves of these truths from time to time. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all. What's all? All authority. What does all mean? All means all. You don't need a dictionary to find out what all means. All means all authority. That means all authority, exousia, has been given to me in heaven. Where? Go there. And where? On earth. Then he turned around and delegated it to us. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the age. Amen. Praise God. So he gave us this authority through this great commission. All right, Matthew 16, 13 through 19. Matthew 16, verse 13 through 19. And when Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. But he said, who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, you are the Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Amen. That was a revelation that came to Peter. And Jesus answered and says, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Praise God. And he said, I also say to you that you are Peter. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of what? Hades or Haiti shall not prevail against it. That means the devil won't be able to prevail against the church, the body of Christ. Amen. And then he said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in where? Heaven. Amen. So Jesus, our Lord, gave us the keys to his kingdom. You don't have to go get the keys. He's given you. He said, I've given you the keys. It's past tense. It's already happened. Now, what happens if you don't pick up your keys when you get to go to your car to drive? You can't get in it. And you can't turn it on. And you can't make it go. That's the same thing with our God-given, grace-given authority. If you don't use it, it doesn't work. You got keys sitting on the dresser. The keys are supposed to be used. So he gave us the keys to his kingdom. Keys represent authority and access to unlock and open and close things. And with these keys, we are to, by faith in him, his word, and his great name, exercise our God-given, grace-given authority here on the earth and in our spheres of influence. Now, we can't pray religiously and expect God to exercise authority. Because let me tell you a statement, real strong statement up front. Everything that needed to be done to the devil has already been done by the Lord. Amen. Jesus has defeated the devil. He whipped him for us. Amen. He spoiled principalities and powers, made a show of them, open triumph over them in the cross. His death on the cross, his burial, and his time in the grave and hell, death, hell, and the grave, and then his resurrection from the dead and his ascension wrought him a mighty victory over the devil and every other demon and evil spirit. And he stripped him of all their power. He spoiled principality. He disarmed them of their weaponry. And so now he said, I got all the keys and all the power. Now I'm going to give them to you to deal with stuff on earth in your realm of influence. And we're going to talk about that, your scope of your authority, in a minute. So we exercise this grace-given, God-given, authority here on earth and our spirits. Because remember, we didn't earn it. We can't merit it because of being good or walking a straight line. It's because of what Jesus did. It's because of what he accomplished in his great redemptive act and substitutionary work. Praise God. So authority is or equals delegated power. So this has been given to us. I give you the keys of the kingdom. Amen? All power and authority. You go with this power. You go with this authority. Amen. It is a grace-given and God-given right to command. So you have a right to command and demand of the devil, of demons, of evil spirits, opposing forces. Now, you have to put this on a backdrop that we're not in a civilian organization, the body of Christ. We're soldiers in the army of the Lord. We're in a battle. And our fight is a fight from victory to against anything that would oppose the kingdom of God. All right? And so remember that the spirit realm is the dominant or preeminent realm. This authority we've been given is spiritual authority. Because none of us have got the authority to go into Bank of America and say, give me all the money. unless you're the CEO and bank president and have all the keys and codes to get the money. You can't do that. You have authority over the bank. You don't have authority to walk in a school and say, I'm going to take control of the school. You don't have authority over, any business like that. That's not your own. So this authority is spiritual authority. Everybody say spiritual authority. So what does that mean? Because remember, we said the spiritual realm is the dominant and preeminent realm. The spiritual realm overrides, overruns, and oversees the natural realm. It overrides, overruns, and oversees the natural realm. So what does it mean to override? Talk to me. When something's going this way, something overrides it. Or something's been ordered, but something else overrides that order. That you take over, take control over, take dominion over it, right? So that's what the spirit realm overrides it. Now, we're dealing with a defeated foe. He's already been defeated. So we don't have to defeat him. We just have to release our authority against him in the name of Jesus and through the word. Amen. Or by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. All right? And so what does it mean to overrun? That means if it's running, you overrun it. Scripture and verse that comes to mind is, where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. So sometimes we look at all the problems and all the sin that's around, maybe perhaps in your house or in your family or in your going on in your close quarters, and you say, man, there's a lot of wrongs here. But you get caught up in the wrongs, then your thinking's wrong. Your perspective's wrong. Because you have the right to overrun that. Amen. Override that. Amen. Amen. And then you oversee. So the spiritual realm oversees. So the natural realm is limited by time and by space. But there's no time and distance in the realm of the spirit. That's why guys like Pastor Keith Moore can go up in heaven and see 8 years ahead. He gets warped up to heaven because his dad died, and he goes up to see his dad, and one of his long things in life was to have his dad involved in his ministry. And so the first time he took an airplane flight with him, he had a heart attack in the airplane. And so he died. It was kind of a tragic situation, but God comforted him. And then and because he didn't yield to grief and sorrow, because he lost his dad, God God comforted him with a visit to heaven. So he went up to heaven and saw his dad. And when he saw his dad, they walking arm in arm, loving each other. He said, I never saw my dad with brown hair. He always had white head, you know, gray hair. And he said, man, he looked so young, looked so good. He had brown hair. And it just, he just talked about his brown hair, full head of hair, brown. And so, and then he's walking arm in arm. And he's telling his son, he said, look, see. Yeah, and they're looking over in the realm of the spirit, and they're seeing what's happening in the ministry. Well, he got back to earth and found out they were looking years ahead. The spirit realm oversees. Now, you think about your realm of influence or realm of authority, the scope of your authority, you can see ahead for your family. You can see ahead. See, people go to magicians and soothsayers, right, and psychics to what? Know the future. But you have the Holy Spirit, and he'll show you things to come. Isn't that good? So you can oversee stuff. This is what God wants to do in your child, and you pray in that direction, and you command the angels in that direction. Amen. I want you to get you fired up about this, about focus. All right, authority is a grace from God. It's activated and energized by our righteousness or our right standing with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It is based on the finished works of Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection and ascension. So let's look again at this in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, familiar prayer, and this is why we always should pray it. I recommend you should pray it every day, but if you're getting cloudy in your authority and you want to get your focus back, you know, pray this 2 to 3 times a day. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right. I'll just read it off the screen. Do not cease to pray and give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit realm of wisdom and revelation, seeing and knowing in the knowledge of him. Cool. That the eyes of your understanding, that's the eyes of your heart or your spirit, be enlightened that you may know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of his glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places. Now we see this elevation, this seating, exaltation of Christ in his ascension after his resurrection. But how what position is it? Far above all principality, that's angelic power. And power, principality, and power, that's government or lordship, and might, that's strength and ability, and dominion, and every name that is named. Amen. Not only this age, but that which is to what? To come. That means all kinds, everything. And then he put all things, how many things?
All
things under his feet. So he's been raised up. And gave him to be the head over how many?
All
things. No, there's no higher head than Jesus. To the church. Keep going. Which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and all. So where's Jesus seated? Far above. So sometimes you got to see Jesus seated far above and know that you're seated with him, together with him far above. All principality power. So anything that's coming against you, like a name, you know, cancer is a name. Diabetes is a name. Kidney disease is a name, right? Strife and divorce is a name, right? Drugs have names. Drug addicts, you know, somebody got this vice going on. Depression is a name. You've been seated far above that. That's the wisdom of God, for you to know every day, I'm sitting down with Jesus. Far above. Everybody say far above. Now in California, they used to do the surfer thing. Far out, man. Anybody ever been to Crash, California? I say far out. Remember the old, back in the old 70s hippie days? Some of y'all know about the hippie movement. Far out, man. Well, we're talking about far above. Not just above. Far above. That means he's high, seated up on high. But he didn't just raise up Jesus and set him up on high. He put you in him, so you're seated next to him, far up on high. So every day you need to have that consciousness and that spiritual eyesight that sees him seated far above, but also you seated far above. Isn't that good? So that whatever comes at you in the natural, you already have a perspective. I'm looking on down, way down. I'm far above that name. I'm far above that principality. I'm far above that power. I'm far above that might. I'm far above all that dominion. Principality, again, angelic, anything in the angelic class. The demons, devils, evil spirits are in the angelic class. We are in the God class because we're joint heirs with Jesus. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We have right standing with the Father and with the Lord Jesus. Amen. Power is authorities. Might is strength and ability. Dominion is government or lordship. Amen. And every name that is named, whatever name they label it, you far above it. Now listen, this is the proper response to stuff in situations. Faith in that authority that you have. Amen. In Christ. Praise the Lord. Now let's look at some authority axioms. An axiom is a statement accepted as true based on as the basis for argument or inference, an established rule or principle or self-evident truth. So the first one, if you don't submit to an authority, you can't be in authority. So he says, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Right? You got to first submit to God. Be under authority so you can be in authority. Second axiom, whatever you don't take or release, when you don't take or release authority, you give your authority away. Matthew 18:18, Amplified says, I tell you, whatever you forbid and declare improper and unlawful on earth must be what is already forbidden in heaven, and whatever you permit and declare and proper and lawful on earth must be already permitted in heaven. In other words, what you allow, God will allow. He's already done everything he's going to do about the devil, demons and evil spirits, and you and I have to deal with them on earth. All right? He said, but you take authority. You take it and release your authority. All right, number three, whatever you don't dominate, you will be dominated by. 1 Peter reference there is 1 Peter 5:7-8. I mean, he's talking about casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And then you are to be what? Be sober. Don't walk around like a silly drunk. You know what drunk versus sober means. That means you have a clear mind and a clear head. That means you're not caught up in the emotions and the toxic thoughts of the moment, of the drama or the dilemma. Be vigilant. That means be like a vigilant soldier. Stand your ground. Stand your guard. Because your adversary, that's the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may, what? Devour. Because he's trying to find somebody. But the reason you're sober is you have sober-minded. You have clear thinking. You have a proper perspective about your God-given, grace-given authority. But if you're caught up in the moment and the feelings and what you see, he's going to whip you. You're in the reason realm. You're in the mental realm. Stay in the spiritual realm. But he says resist him. Steadfast how? In the faith. In the faith. Or in other words, by faith you can resist him. You keep him in the faith realm, you'll whip him 100 times out of 100. Your authority must be released and exercised by faith. faith. Everybody say, by faith. Knowing the same sufferings are experienced of your brotherhood in the world. See, the devil goes after everybody in this room, not just nobody's exempt. I'm not exempt. I'm not in a bubble. I have to use and release and exercise authority over thoughts that come in my mind, feelings that come try to harass my emotions. Amen. Moods that try to get in your attitude. You have to do that. What does he do? He's trying to get you to come out of that seat and come down from the spiritual realm to the natural realm, from the faith realm to the reason realm. And you start looking at what you feel and see instead of what you believe. Amen. All right. Number four, it's not come what may, it's come what you say. We all know what Mark 11:23 says. Say unto the mountain, speak to the mountain. Matthew 21:20 says, say unto the mountain. Luke 17:6 says, say to the sycamore tree, be thou plucked. So it's not come what may, it is come what you say. You have a God-given, grace-given right to command. That's one of the prominent uses of this thing 1 inch below your nose. It's not originally designed, this right here, your mouth, was not originally designed for communication. But too often today, that's all we use it for. It was designed to release power, because that's how God used his words in the beginning, to create, to cause, and to control. That's releasing power. Words are power containers. They contain power of death or life. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. In other words, your words, your faith-filled words will dominate sin, Satan, and the death that tries to come upon you. Amen. Glory to God. And we often said, and we said this before, faith by saying does three things. This is not in your notes, but you can make a reference to it. So if you're always in faith, you are doing three things primarily with the word. Not all these three, not just these three, excuse me, but there are three things. You are commanding the subject. That means you ought to be giving commands, releasing and exercising your authority. Now let me use one illustration here. Psalms 103 verse 5 and 6 says to us, he fills our mouth. One of our benefits is he fills our mouth with good things so that our youth is renewed like the eagles. So some people don't speak to their body parts.